You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast, where we invite founders and digital marketers alike to discuss marketing and sales strategies and software used to build automated marketing systems that scale. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge. And on this episode, I have Sandra Halling, and she is the business equivalent of a 5,000 piece jigsaw puzzle and can make it look like the picture in the box, right? For all my puzzlers out there, you know the journey of how many times do you look at that picture while you're putting the piece together? So in business, this is invaluable. As the founder of Data Maven, she's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and executives design their workflow and systems to feel organized, have peace of mind, and prioritize what matters to them. She's an expert on platforms like Dell Tech Vision, Notion, and ClickUp. You all know how I feel about ClickUp, so we will be nerding out a bit about that. But her real priority is helping you develop better work habits by achieving aligned productivity. We're going to talk about balancing people and processes today, everyone. Sandra's here to help us do it. Sandra, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hey, Chris. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, yes. Glad to have you. And before we jump into it, I love talking process. Process is everything. Everything's a process. And depending on the type of personality and way that your brain is wired, that can overwhelm you or that can excite you. And it excites me. I like to get into the weeds of things. Tell our listeners a bit about your journey to Data Mavis. Have you always been a tinkerer, a puzzle piece put togetherer, a figure it out, just go ask Sandra, or was this something more of an evolution over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say a little bit of both. So, funny story, when I was a kid, I used to binge watch Matlock. I don't know if you've ever seen that show. It's like this old school crime drama with this lawyer who was just always up to shenanigans. And so when I was a kid, I either wanted to be a lawyer or I wanted to be a ballerina. And I was like, maybe I'll be a ballerina and then a lawyer. And what's funny to me now is I basically do that just in a different way, right? Like systems and planning and automation and productivity and all the things that we work in require the same level of care and precision that being a lawyer does, but they also require sort of an aesthetic vision, a creativity that would come from like the artistic nature of being a ballerina. So mm-hmm. I love the juxtaposition there. I think it does a good job of explaining like how I view where I show up. It's a mix of heart and tech. Yeah. You know, I spent most of my career either as an employee in corporate organizations, professional service firms, automating workflow for marketing and operations. But then I left in 2011 and started my own business and started doing the exact same thing just as an entrepreneur. And I fell into that trap that I think all experts, subject matter experts do, is that you kind of become the technician, if we borrow the term from E Myth Revisited, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And right. So fast forward, eventually I realized I needed to apply my own systems brain to my own business. And I think that's when the shift happened. Wow. And then once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? So that's the evolution part.
Yeah, I love it. Let's park right here for a moment, because this is a transition that I see a lot. So I have a program. My target is digital marketers that want to do automation, marketing automation for a living. They want to become a professional. I've got a certification and everything. And it's amazing. Everybody comes in at the same path, right? Like, I want to go deeper with automation. Mm-hmm. Now, as they start to learn the skills and learn the framework and produce results in the marketplace, they're at a fork in the road. Do I want to build my business around me doing it? Or do I want to be the person outside of it and build the infrastructure for people on the inside to execute it? So for you, you reached that fork in the road. Now you're a techie person. You can tech with the best of them, right? All the tools, give them to me. I can figure That's them right. out, database and whatever. So how was that for you? That hard. Decision.
It was in like, a word, okay. It was hard. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It mm-hmm. really is a decision to, like, do you want this lifestyle business? Not like a brand per se, but just the way where you get to decide the pace of the work. You get to decide how many clients. You get to hold all the levers. But with that comes also the responsibility of managing that capacity constantly, right? Yeah. And what the breaking point for me, or the place where I was like, okay, I need to be the strategist. I need to be the expert that I am, mm-hmm. was that I realized I was spending so much time managing my own capacity to be the solopreneur, to be the technician all the time, that it just wasn't worth it anymore. I would have to spend that same amount of time whether I had the team or not. And so at a certain point, it got to a place where I was just inadvertently capping my own revenue by not allowing myself to grow and share. And also, I feel like you get to a certain point, it's sometimes hard to see your own skill set and realize how much knowledge you could bequeath to someone else. And so most of the people on my team now, consulting wise, you know, from a technical standpoint, they're whizzes. And in some ways, it's interesting to see, like, they're deeper on the tech side than I am. And I never thought I'd be in that place, right? Where it's like, no, my job really is strategy now. And it's better to have somebody else who's the expert. But then they get to have me come in on sales calls and have a different sort of conversation. And they know I have their back. And so now my joy comes in because I get to mentor too, in addition to doing strategy. And there's still plenty of places for me to get nerdy. So,
So those are good points. And what I hear in it all is you just weren't afraid to let go and grow. You know,
at a certain point, the pain of change was not any worse than the pain of staying the same, I think, is what I would say.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, I will say the E-Myth was one of those books too that had me assess myself and say, wow, am I just a paid technician of my own company? Did I just create myself as a boss and I just have another job? Wait, right. Hold on, you know, really was that pumped the brakes. So you've had some corporate experience, you liked it, you emulated it in your personal life or professional, I should say. You started your business, then you're doing the techie, it's all good. Then you're realizing, you know what, I need to change my approach. So I can operate bigger, help, and in a bigger capacity. So you've got data mavens, you've got people to help with the tech. You're on the strategy. Talk to us a little bit about what you mean by align productivity.
Oh yeah, this is like my favorite topic right now. So align productivity at the like individual level is really just redefining the definition of what it means to be productive for ourselves as individuals. So like as entrepreneurs, and I'm sure you've been through this, like your to-do list will never be done ever. There's always something else. Yep. So you have to decide when are you honoring your endpoint in the day, even though XYZ thing didn't get done. And where's your mindset in that moment? Are you actually beating up on yourself? Are you on that self-critical train, or are you able to lean into that moment where you're honoring your endpoint, even though not all the things are done, and you're able to do it with compassion so that you're able to like get up the next day and go at it again, right? Like, so aligning productivity at the individual level is, it really is about redefining what it means to be productive. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? How are you aligning your actions with your bigger picture goals? And I actually have a community that I run for people to play around with this whole concept. And we meet once a week to do a weekly review, very sort of GTD, getting things done style weekly review, and some coaching. And there's a community in Circle too. So it's a, and it's a really tight-knit, amazing group of humans that are doing awesome work. Not all of them are entrepreneurs. We get a lot of academics and other people, nonprofit and so on. And a lot of it is getting clear with ourselves about the life we want to be living. And it kind of goes back to that question of like, do you want the lifestyle business where you're controlling all the levers and you can, you're the boss, but you're also the technician? Or do you want the business where you're helping, you have greater impact, but you're also responsible for mentoring your team, right? Like there's a decision there. There's a decision in the, at the individual level, regardless of what path you pick as an entrepreneur. And where I think that this work matters so much is so many people are, would identify as being like recovering perfectionists, if you will. And I think a lot of tinkerers and systems people are definitely recovering perfectionists, right? Oh, yeah. Like we want it to work. We want it to work well. We, this is why we put the care in and why people trust us to do it, is because we're going to apply that level of, you know, meticulous, sight to what it is we're doing. But there's a point where it becomes detrimental. And I think we all have to decide for ourselves where it is. So that's aligned productivity at the individual level. And at the team level, you take all of that and you just say, like, what culture are we creating? How are we empowering our individual team members to be human at work? Are we creating a culture where people can make mistakes, where they can learn and grow? Are we actually mentoring them? Or are we like, you know, kind of pulling back and expecting them to sort of figure it out on their own. And I'm sure you can tell by the way I'm explaining it, which way I lean, but.
Yes. So, you know, when I first heard it, you know, it, you can go many ways with it, but as you're talking, there's so many moving parts when it comes to being productive, whether it's productive in your day, your week, your month, productive with your client, productive with anything. And there's these two things that are ever present: people and processes.
You got it.
Cannot reach productivity without both of them.
Full circle, now, right?
Right.
That's
so
why we're here.
Some people have this, especially solopreneurs, this, I can do it on my own, I don't need anybody. And you'll see that their productivity is always capped in some capacity until they realize, all right, I may not need to hire a full-time staff, but I need freelancers. I need some additional hands to help. And it's very easy to get excited. I was sharing with you before we started to record the podcast is that I've worked for startups that got more excited about process than people. And the people just became a means of executing the process. Then you have other startups that really value people. And those people are the ones that improve the processes, that help you produce more out of them. For you, you see both. How, what keys can you give the entrepreneur, the small business owners that's listening to this now, that wants to be productive, but also wants to value their team and make their team feel valued in the process?
I mean, I think the first tool, the first step is slowing it down. Like we often get into this like race for revenue, shall we say, and race to solve the next problem. And I think one of the ways we can really quickly overwhelm our teams is to not have a process for vetting ideas, for not managing capacity, right, in an intentional way. And so where process, this can be a process, in fact, like having a designated place for your team to put ideas, having a designated time and schedule with which you review those ideas, applying them systematically so you can actually see their impact, And then collectively, like both each individual as a group or each individual by themselves review the impact that they had, and then coming together as a group to discuss what other people saw and noticed about the impact of that one idea, that one change you had. And then, I feel like this allows this process. It doesn't matter how big you are. Like you could be yourself and a team of two and still be very intentional and slow down the changes that you're making and actually be able to see their impact and know if they're working. And then you're also in a better place to say, it's worth us investing the time in refining this because we can tell it is having an impact. And we want to, enhance that further. Or we can say, actually, this isn't really impacting anything. Maybe we need to try a different path. And that whole process I just described helps. That is part of creating your culture, right? It's like all of those micro interactions that you're having is what knit together to form the experience of working with you.
Yeah, there was a, I do not remember where I saw this, but there was a term a few years back and it was HAA, human assisted automation, right? Mm-hmm. And it stuck with me. I would give the attribution to the website, but I just don't know where it was. And it stuck with me because I've always viewed humans as a part of automation. Right. A lot of people who maybe are a little more early, we'll say, mm-hmm. in their mm-hmm. expectations mm-hmm. of automating a business mm-hmm. may think that you just click a button one day and then it goes forever and money's just pouring into your account.
Yeah. Couldn't be further from. Yeah.
Right. Not even in the same universe.
No. Right?
So with this term human assisted automation has stuck with me because there's always a form of a human element required, mm-hmm. but the better the processes, mm-hmm. the better the performance of the people is what I found. So what are some of the things that you all have learned to do simplifying processes to mm-hmm. ensure that the people that are on the team can actually mm-hmm. shine and produce?
Yeah. So I think one thing is always being very clear about the objective. So kind of like managing capacity, being intentional about that and vetting ideas and having a process even for how we decide who's working on what and what our goals are for a particular time period. Mm-hmm. But also, leaning into, also another thing that's popping into my head is just having a checklist. It sounds so simple, but we go down this path of developing SOPs, standard operating procedures, in this like really detailed, robust way that we then often like don't want to have to read to execute the task. And if you're hiring smart people, they shouldn't be reading it anyway. They should be using that noggin that you hired them for. Kind of existing with the task and seeing where can we improve this constantly. It's like a constant incremental improvement, right? Like you have the SOP so that you have the baseline, you have the checklist so it's easy to make sure you don't drop balls, but you still need the human to actually be engaged with it because we're the ones that are going to be like, yeah, this does work technically, but we've lost all human touch with our client because we've automated our entire sales process or whatever the case may be. And mm-hmm. that doesn't actually match up to our values. And that's where I feel like it always comes back to and why I personally do more management strategy at this point is because if we're looking at it from a value standpoint, it's fascinating how fast you get into the weeds of how things are being done in order to uphold that bigger picture vision and mission and identity. And
I'll say this. As you're talking, I was just thinking, I'm putting myself on the operating table here saying, hey, does that fit? Do I do that? Do I need to change that?
Yeah.
And to my benefit, I will say I've always valued people, mm-hmm. right? And it's through that value of people that has always informed my processes. So earlier, my processes were very advanced, very much. I could execute it. Nobody else could.
Ditto. Guilty as charged. I'm right there with you. Totally. It's so easy when you're tech savvy and capable, right?
It's so easy. But I have to say, I think it was Michael Jordan who talked about when he became a general owner of the Bobcats at the time. I think it was the Bobcats, the Hornets, whatever the Charlotte team was. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about how would a ring feel to win it as a general manager. And he said it would feel even greater than the rings that he's won because he's not on the floor.
Right.
He's literally building the team to do the execution.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me because that's what I want. I want processes laid out to where when people come in, they just look like superstars.
Right.
It's not overly complicated. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I found that works is what you mentioned is, yes, have an SOP. SOP is for like the first or second time someone mm-hmm. goes through something,
mm-hmm.
but then it should live as a checklist
mm-hmm.
and it should be spun up every time somebody has to perform that task, because now we start to see that balance of process. Okay, these are the things you need to do. And people, that person they build momentum every yeah. time they do that yeah. task the right way. They build confidence.
This is where we have to nerd out about ClickUp and Notion, right? Because
yes.
right, there's so many tools out there where you could store your process, but the more modern ones, ClickUp being, I think, your favorite and my favorite right yes. now. Like you can just build it right in. So it's like almost, it's like the checklist literally gets recreated every time you have a recurring task. Like,
yes.
I don't know how else to say it, but it's just like at your fingertips, right? And also, it reminds me of when I was in corporate and I was automating marketing process. And every so often, you know, you'd run into somebody who was a little concerned about job security, like, Sandra, you're automating us out of a job. And I'm like, no. What we're doing is automating the ornery bits of your job yeah. so that you can actually be the brilliant human that you are and pay more attention to the message that you're crafting and the conversations that you're having and the strategy that's being done, not formatting project pages and resumes or whatever little nuanced thing you're putting in your proposal for your client is, right? So yep. it's like, having excellent systems and technical tools like ClickUp can allow all of those pieces when you enter the automation into the puzzle, just like it runs like a well-oiled machine. And like you said, then the employees get to be the superstars.
Yes. Yes. I'll tell you a story. So the first time, this is about ClickUp and checklists and all this, watch this. First time I ran a podcast, I was at ActiveCampaign. Mm-hmm. I did the entire podcast using Active Campaign's deals and stages. It was just me, Sandra. Okay. So I'm moving stuff. It's sending emails to people who are on the podcast XYZ.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I introduced someone else in the process, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I had to change some things. Right. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I could still do it all within Active Campaign, just that tool alone. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I start my own business full time and I start my own podcast, which you're on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I had a different mindset. I was like, look, I want people involved in this process. I learned I do not want to be part of producing this entire thing. Well, what it immediately forced me to do is introduce more tools so that nobody had to go and learn ActiveCampaign. So I move most of the management of it into Airtable. That's my first pass. That's the first version of mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. is the second version, I guess, or the first pass of version two, right?
Like a gateway drug. Yeah, I guess.
Yes, right. So now I'm in Airtable and it's working, but Sandra, it's working if you know what to do when a record goes to a
and that's a big
stage.
If, right?
That's a big if.
It's a big if.
So now introduce ClickUp.
Mm-hmm.
ClickUp now, when it goes into a stage, creates the checklist, assigns it to the appropriate person for every single episode.
Right. So, and then your mind explodes because you're like, oh my gosh, how much easier could it be? Like, that is it right there. Right.
That's it.
And I think that if I want to come back to that, if mm-hmm. it's like, I love that you moved it out of ActiveCampaign to Airtable to start with, because the first thing that we talk about a lot is who are you hiring? What type of people are coming into your organization and what is their general level of tech savviness? Now, you and I, we're probably going to lean towards we're hiring pretty tech savvy people just because of right. the nature of what we're doing, but that's not necessarily going to be true for everyone. And I've had Like I love Notion. I spent a year working on the Notion Mastery team, and like I have a soft spot for it. But yeah. I also think that it has a much higher learning curve, kind of like Airtable to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas you put somebody in ClickUp and there's just this like slight lean towards it being more intuitive. It's insanely powerful once you understand how it works, but you don't have to understand it to be in it and use it every day. And that is a game changer right there.
I agree. I can't even stress how valuable having those checklists, them sending emails, notifications, and somebody logging in. Now we're doing, let's nerd out a little bit. So we link to everything. There is no such thing as a task with a description that's not linked to a resource. There's a Loom video, something in there. You want to make it easy for the person mm-hmm. checking the mm-hmm. list off. And mm-hmm. by default, every task links to the SOP, just right. in case, right?
Why not?
Why not?
You can, so why not, right?
Why not?
And then it's like one click to just skim the SOP and like, oh, is this current? Like, because that's, I think, one of the things that is really tricky for smaller entrepreneurs is like documenting all that stuff is it feels time consuming, and then they're not going to go back and look at it every single time. And it really helps to just narrow it down and say, does everybody have a core focus, like each person on your team? And what is the primary thing that they're responsible for? And mm-hmm. is that documented? Let's start there. Like, what is the job to be done essentially for each person? And let's get that documented and linked in. And then you have a little more breathing room and you can get to where we're talking about now, where it's like actually all the core routines of the business. And I think this also is a good place to bring in just this really core concept that I feel kind of goes back to the E-Myth Revisited book. Mm. But it's like the whole idea of business is that we are creating efficiencies. We are more efficient at doing things for our clients than our clients would be at doing it for themselves. Like more efficient, and often because we're subject matter experts, we can do a better job. Like we just have more information, so we're faster, right? Which starts to go into a whole other topic that I'm passionate about, which is not working on an hourly basis, because you're basically mm-hmm. penalized for being efficient at that point. But if we're building efficiencies into our business, then having this clear role and responsibility and clear tasks and jobs defined and then supported by SOP, and making the SOP, like the question I always say is, how can you make it feel easy to get started with creating mm-hmm. it and then kind of go from there? So,
yeah, I want to ask you about a couple cool things that you're doing in ClickUp and Notion. But before I get there, I feel like this is a better question to lead us there. I'd have to assume, Sandra, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have to assume that most of the time when you engage with a new company, they do not have their documentation in order.
Oh, never. Almost never. It doesn't matter right. whether they are like a teeny tiny entrepreneur who wants a strategy session and they like, you know, they're happy earning 60K a year yeah. or these massive companies that are earning 60 million. Doesn't matter.
None like, of them, right?
Never.
Mm-mm. So how, tell us about your approach to and how you get buy-in to the documentation. Do you all create it? Do you train the team to do it as they are executing new things? Mm-hmm. How, what's your approach to doing that documentation?
Yeah, so it varies greatly based on the size of the organization, in my opinion, or the best practice would vary greatly. The smaller the team, the more I think it's critical that you focus on key functions, tasks, but functions. And saying like, what are the systems that we have in place? Not just tools, like technical tools, but systems for marketing. What are the systems for our sales process? And making sure that the workflow, the process, the pathway is documented so that it, and if nothing else, like as you're bringing new people in, like they have some place to go and understand how the business operates. Like what is the literal pathway through from lead acquisition to sales to delivery to so on and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. Customer satisfaction and so on. So like I said, was saying, it varies a little bit based on the size of the organization. The larger the organization, the more it makes sense to pick a department, right? Pick a team, pick a studio, whatever label you want to put on it. And again, you're looking at what's our core process? What's the core job of that process? And like, keep inching it down. It's not that different actually than if we think about the way I would coach somebody into cleaning up their own personal to-do list. It's like, how often do we put something on our to-do list that's like, write book, plan estate, right? And like, okay, that's not just a project. That's probably like five projects, never mind like 27 tasks each and no process with any of them. So it's like, break it down. Is it something you can do in 15 to 30 minutes? No. Okay. Break it down again. And if you're not sure how to break it down, everything has a beginning, middle, or an end. So just start with that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, and so it's the same thing on the process side. It's like, what's the beginning, middle, or the end? Where are we starting? And how can we just break this down a little bit more until we get to a very clear job that needs to be done, to kind of paraphrase, and then look at it from that angle and really focus on the core pieces first and kind of holistically. I'm a big believer in, you know, you fix your sales process, air quote, you're going to impact other things, right? So, if you know, this is why working with the data mavens gives you this, gives our clients a very different edge in the sense that I'm going to look at the big picture no matter what. And then I have various people who we pull in depending on what the technical problem is that we need to solve first and kind of working between those little bit like a seesaw, right? You got to do a little big picture, solve a problem, a little more big picture, solve another problem and kind of work through it that way.
Yeah. I've, these are one of the principles I teach and it's a document while you do. Totally. And listen, Sandra, I try hard. I really do. Sometimes if I'm in the process, if I'm the one in it responsible for producing it, sometimes I just get excited. I do. And it's just like, I can see it. It's, you know, I've got a whole process. Hey, map it out, solve all your problems analog, then go. I get it. I know. But most of the time for me, what I'm learning is the old Chris would just jump into it and then tell my team like, hey, I did this thing. Then I'd have to record a video and that's fine because we have documentation and everything else. The new me, I will either start a doc that's like a log of everything that I'm doing, or it will be a manual. I'll keep my notebook open and I'll just create checklists as I go through it in my notes.
100%. That's the easiest way. And I think it's more accurate. Like if you sit down to create a process and you put your process hat on, dollars to donuts, you're not executing the same way you would if you were actually doing it for real. So what happens when on 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, you got to whip this task out and you know that process isn't documented yet? What if you just gave yourself a little bit of buffer, 15 minutes, right? To have a little notebook next to you and jot down the steps as you're doing them and then take that checklist and throw it into the task for the next time, right? It makes it so much smoother. It's like believing that you can document something in 15 minutes, I think is the first step. Because if you don't believe that, it will always feel arduous. You know, it's always going to feel like this big task that you don't want to tackle.
I agree. And where I'm at now at the time of recording this is making sure that even my note taking has a framework. So that I can, because I'm really good analog. I just am. I'm better analog than anything digital in any day of the week.
That makes my heart happy. I'm glad I know another techie who's like, can I just be analog? Because people think I'm like, like, no, I'm not actually married to my computer.
It's something freeing about it. But what I've learned more recently is that my analog is very much how my digital used to be. Whereas only I can read it, only I can understand it. So now as I'm modularizing my notes to be more portable, I can take a snapshot. I can take a picture of my whiteboard, attach it to a task and have someone on my team make the digital version of it, create the checklist out of that. So this is, I feel like this really captures the whole part of balancing process and people. And then within there, there's technology, right? Just right smack dab in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Using them to create this alignment that you speak of, this orchestrated product. It's just like, wow, I got the picture in a click up task and it notifies someone. Someone came in, looked at the picture, created the checklist. Now they hook that checklist up to an automation that every time a task like this is created, the checklist is produced. And man, we've not been having any issues with this process or people.
I always think, like, you know, we're business owners, right? And I think the operative word there isn't business, it's owner, right? We're not business doers. We can't do it all ourselves, right? Yeah. We're owning something. We're owning a process, a methodology, an approach, probably some intellectual property. And our function is really to, like you were saying, almost like an orchestra, like we're conductors, right? Like a little more flute over here, a little more trombone here. Like, how are we bringing in all of the pieces and making them, you know, work together so that it sounds like a piece of music and not like the orchestra tuning up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to ask you this. This is Notion. This is Notion and ClickUp. Tell me about the moment that the light bulb turned on for you. Like, oh my goodness, ClickUp is the app for me. Oh my goodness, Notion is the app for me. Because you know how it goes. Mm-hmm. You start with the tool. Mm-hmm. It's all exciting. And then you start breaking us data people. We're real technical. We start pushing the boundaries.
Oh, yeah. Limits. That's like step one. Maybe step two. But really, it's step one. Right.
It's like, okay, what can't it do? I get all of the documentation. What it can. Oh, can't do this. Can't do this. So what was that moment? Was it a particular feature? Was it a particular result? What was it for both ClickUp and Notion for you where you were like, oh, my gosh, this is the tool for me?
Yeah. Okay. So first, confession time. I've used like every project management tool out there in the last 12 years of running my business. Rike, Smartsheet, Basecamp, multiple versions of Basecamp. I'm trying to think of what else. Monday, like you name it, Asana. I've messed with all of them.
Yep.
So what was happening is I kept ending up back in, of all things, OneNote. Right. And the reason I kept ending up, you know, it's corporate. So I used Microsoft Office products and all that. Yep. But I kept ending up back in OneNote because it was the only thing that would manage the highly detailed technical notes I needed for development plus tasks in an organized way. A lot of project management tools do not handle that level, that detailed level of notes. Right. And so that was what made me fall in love with Notion. In the beginning was that I could have super detailed notes, even with, you know, super kind of complex mini databases that would allow me to filter through all the changes we were making in someone else's system. And the irony was never lost on me that I was basically building a database to implement a database. But
right.
That's just how we roll around here, right? So I loved it. And then what happened is my team started growing. And granted, Notion just came out with some new features. Like just last week, they were displaying some new things. And so things are changing for the better in terms of using Notion to manage a team. But at the time, you couldn't lock pages from being changed. And I was spending a lot of time just updating filters, trying to get a handle on what everybody was working on. You know, Notion wasn't designed originally as a task manager. We're all using it differently now, but it's not really what it was designed for from the get-go. So you put ClickUp in front of me and it's like the aha, right? The number one thing I would say is just the way it handles dates, right? Dates and ClickUp, where it's like so easy to recur without creating a new task. Like, I don't care when it got done. I just know that when I do it, I'm going to have to do it again. Like, that's a very unique process that has to be thought through, as opposed to, no, I need to know every instance of a completed task. Right. And so you can get into that level of detail in ClickUp, and with the docs feature, you've got that power with the notes. And so for me, in my work and with the level of technical stuff that we do, it's the blend of note taking and how does it handle dates and assigning and like recurring things. It's like trying to find that happy medium. So that's what made me grab onto ClickUp and hold on to it for sure.
Yeah, I'll say for me, for Notion, I'll go here. Me for Notion was the embedded page approach. Like it was a full page that you could embed within a page. It just made organization a lot easier, like clicking around, trying to find things. And so that was what first attracted me. And then what got me was the database ability.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, I can put a database within a page. And that page is not dedicated to just be a database. I can actually have other notes.
You can have another database inside it. Like,
you could have multiple databases.
This is where Notion starts to become a merry-go-round. It's like, where do you start? Where do you stop?
Yes.
And yeah. I think when you have a team, goes back to what I was saying earlier, if you have a team with different technical backgrounds coming mm-hmm. into something like Notion, being able to protect who's creating new pages and who's monitoring and managing the structure of Notion. Once we have control over that, that makes Notion a lot more feasible for a larger team. But in ClickUp, like, you've got a home view. It's already there, you know? Yeah. So like for teams that have a more wide variety of people on them, being able to come in and have that, you know, the checklist separate from subtasks, right? Which are two separate things. You've got process and you've got pieces that might be assigned mm-hmm. plus the recurring dates. I think if there's, you know, things like launch strategy or, you know, marketing automation that requires, like we were talking earlier, the human element,
yep.
having something like ClickUp where all of that can be predefined and then launched with a template with one click of a button, like, yep. hello.
Yes, yes. So it's great. ClickUp for me were the automations. Before then, I was a user of it. I kind of liked it. But when they launched automation, I was like, you have me. I can't leave you now. All right. Well, Sandra, this was great. If our listeners want to find out more about you, about the Data Mavens, about how to engage with you, learn more from you, where should they go?
Absolutely. So you can come over to thedatamavens.com/allsystemsgo. And I actually have a special treat for the listeners who are curious about the Align Productivity community I was talking about. We're doing 10% off for the listeners. So you can use the code allsystemsgo and get 10% off of joining us, which will be awesome. I'd love to have you.
Oh, amazing. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And we will have that link. If you missed it, everyone, it is in the show notes. You can go to it right now in the show notes and get there. Sandra, I can't thank you enough for coming on to the podcast. Anytime I get an opportunity to talk about people, process, and technology, sign me up.
Right. Let's so nerd out about ClickUp. Done. I'm in.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Yes. So thank you for having me, Chris. Greatly appreciated. Yes. You have been a great guest. Nothing but the best of wishes to you and in the Data Mavens. If there's any way that our communities can be in sync or help in any way, don't hesitate. But I thank you for your presence on the podcast today.
I love that. Thank you, Chris.
Yes. All right. Have a good one. Mm-hmm. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you're subscribed. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to, and it can be found in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And while you're at it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review to show some love, but also to help future listeners more easily find the podcast so they can experience the value and goodness as well. We've compiled all resources mentioned on the podcast, as well as other resources that are extremely valuable and effective at helping you grow your marketing automation skills quickly. And you can access them all at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.